Monty and Rias are back to Versus Movies. I am the titular Monty.
I am Rias. Let's just leave it at that.
She saw my trap and she gracefully stepped right over it.
I did. I'm used to those traps.
So, movies, right? We didn't see a movie last week.
We didn't. We screwed around. We watched some stuff on the TV instead, like losers.
In my opinion, movies are not fully back. There's like
one
or two movies out a week. And I remember a time, folks, let me tell you about a time, you'd get five or six movies every weekend. And
every weekend.
Most of them would just vanish with nobody ever knowing about them.
We got a few movies this weekend.
Yeah.
We got Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, which I'm sure that you, as a gentleman, would be very interested in learning about the puberty antics of young women.
I read so much Judy Blume as a child, and there was only one of them that was pointed at guys.
I have never read anything by Judy Blume, but I understand from the internet that she's a national treasure.
Oh, yeah. If you want to learn about what puberty is like, with no euphemisms, but really lots of euphemisms. And also, it's written in like, feels like the mid-60s. So even when I was reading it in the 80s, it felt weird and old-fashioned.
Yeah. I kind of just went straight to porn, I'm afraid.
Oh, that's okay.
I never got all that. My awkward years were awkward.
Aw,
it's so sad.
But we did not see Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret.
We did not. Nor did we see Evil Dead Rise? Evil Dead Rise?
I have to correct myself. It's Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, period.
Well,
two sentences.
I'm sorry, I forgot the punctuation.
You're right. We also did not see Evil Dead Rise.
Which is all one sentence.
I
think it should be Evil Dead Rise! !
I don't know. I like the Evil Dead movies. I like Evil Dead. I like Evil Dead 2. I like Army of Darkness. And I have zero interest in any of the follow-up things like Ash vs. Evil Dead or the Evil Dead remake, which I heard was good.
I watched Ash vs. Evil Dead.
How was it? I'm sure it was.
It was dumb fun. It was fine. Evil Dead Rise? Yeah, I like the Evil Dead too. I own some Evil Dead movies in my collection somewhere, but I just didn't feel like it. Sometimes something comes out and you know it might be good, and you're just not up to watching a gore film.
Yeah,
you know?
The commercials for Evil Dead Rise are heavy on the gore and like slasher feel and don't have any of the jokiness, which I'm sure is in there because they wouldn't call
it evil.
People
say that it is in there.
But the commercials, man.
No, those commercials aren't fun.
They misunderstand the property.
Exactly.
What movie did we watch?
We watched a movie from China called Born to Fly.
Born to Fly? Hey, I read about Born to Fly. An article in the Hollywood Reporter said that it was going to be released September 30th, the day before China's National Day, and it just got pulled off the schedule.
It did. People had already bought tickets in China for it, and then vanished.
Apparently,
and no one knew why. Everybody thought, oh no, they thought they had had to censor stuff.
Yeah, because
from it,
there's a hot new stealth fighter, and maybe they put too much information about it in the movie. According to Hollywood Reporter, what happened is the producers saw Top Gun Maverick and were then persuaded that their movie looked very bad next to Top Gun Maverick, so they had to shoot more stuff.
Is that true, though, or is that just American propaganda trying to make Chinese flight movies look bad?
I don't know. I will say this. I thought it looked great.
I thought it looked great, too. I loved the dogfight scenes. I loved Okay, let's talk about the movie. Let's give you a little background.
Go.
Born to Fly is a movie about test pilots in China and how they are continually asked to risk their lives to make sure that jets are safe for other pilots to risk their lives in.
We are repeatedly told in this movie that China is very disadvantaged in aeronautics because they used to have Western scientists working with them and sharing their technology, and now they don't. So now they have to invent everything themselves. And I was really interested by that because I figured that because this movie is definitely Chinese propaganda.
Oh, 100% Chinese propaganda.
I thought it would be about how Chinese military might was unsurpassed. But really, the impression you get is that China's Air Force is underfunded and just trying to keep up with those evil Westerners with their fourth generation jets.
I didn't really get that, but then I missed that one big conversational scene.
Yeah, Arias missed about 10 minutes of the movie.
It's true. I had to go to the bathroom. That's all you need to know.
So,
but we saw it in a fancy new theater we haven't been before.
Yeah,
that
went
was exciting.
Up to the Alderwood Mall. Hey, Arias.
Hey, Monty.
Who's the star of this movie?
Might be a name you've heard before. Probably not, because they had a Chinese star that Arias. Mr. Wang Yibo.
Wang Yibo from The Untamed and also from Hidden Blade?
Yes. Yes, he's starting to get into actual movies now, and I feel like I want to support him in that.
Now, it's very impressive that he is the star of this movie.
Yeah.
Like, he was the second or third build in Hidden Blade.
Yeah, he's getting there. He is getting there. And this movie has broken box office records in China all over the place.
Well, that is because Wang Yibo has a huge internet fandom who will each buy 10 tickets for every movie comes out. Isn't that so?
That is true, but also he has the force of the Chinese government telling people to go see this movie, which cannot hurt, because there's a lot of people in China, most of whom are not ravening fans of Yibo, willing to buy 10 things. A friend of mine organized a screening for Yibo fans in London. And they had like 20 people come up, and they brought them gift bags with movie stuff in it. It looked like a really fun event.
Nice. I thought he did pretty well in this.
I thought he was good in it.
He got to share some emotions other than just stoicness.
Yeah, he does a lot of films where he just has to be a stoic boy because he's got a good face for it.
Yeah, he's being slotted into the generic hero. Well, not really. Like Hidden Blade, he got to share some darkness.
Yes, but it was a very stoic darkness.
Yeah. In this, he got bloodied up and dirtied, and I know you like that, which means he he wasn't all shiny and clean the way a pop idol normally is.
Yeah. He got pretty beat up for real during the filming, too. I worry about him. I'm very worried about him.
Yeah, there's a scene where he has ejected. Okay, so one thing I like about this movie is that he's a test pilot. Every flight he takes, something goes wrong. He has to eject several times. And that is not because he's a bad pilot. It's because he's pushing the hardware to where it fails. And that's his job. I like that a lot.
In the first 5 minutes of the film, he gets into a dogfight with some Westerners who say, "We can fly anywhere we want." They are cartoon villain Westerners.
These guys are jerks. They're flying their supersonic jets right off of the water and causing sonic booms right next to oil derricks.
And fishing vessels, which is breaking the windows of the fishing vessels and causing people to fall overboard. And they're just being jerks.
Yeah. So
Yibo gets into a dogfight with them and breaks his plane because he's pushing it too far above its whatever parameters.
Yeah. You know, it's that sort of thing.
So then he gets required as a test pilot, presumably because he's so good at breaking airplanes.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a gift.
And then, you know, he tests and breaks and tests and
breaks
eventually
it
works. And he comes up with a clever idea because he's also an engineer. We do learn that he surfs. We don't see him surf. The movie, I would say, is like 60% Top Gun, 40% The Right Stuff.
Yeah, that's probably a good split. I enjoyed it. It moved quickly. It was not a hard movie to understand. It had a linear plot line.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't need to know any history. And the airplanes were really cool looking because
yeah,
they're like stealth fighters.
Yeah, I enjoyed this movie. You say you enjoyed it more than Top Gun Maverick. Is that because you're un-American?
It is not. Oh. Because I'm un-American, it's because I felt like it was less overall macho than Top Gun Maverick.
I agree with that. Top Gun Maverick,
there was a lot of paying tribute to test pilots who have died testing planes. There's a plot line where one of the pilots gets killed and his family is heartbroken. And it just seemed like a more emotional, less macho film to me. And that's why I enjoyed it more than Maverick.
I think I see what you mean. They have that graveyard for test pilots where all the gravestones are tail fin shaped.
Yeah, that's a really cool looking graveyard. And then like some child has written on one of the graves in chalk, "I miss you, Daddy," and left a little Lego airplane.
Yeah, there's a...
it's a little manipulative.
There's a school just in sight of where they do their test flights sometimes. Like in the scene where Ebo got injured, he has... ejected from the flight again, and his parachute gets caught by the wind. It's dragging him along through this, like, junkyard. And in this scene, the test flights are apparently right over the city because the other guy can't eject yet until the flight is no longer directly over, you know, people.
That seems foolish.
Yeah, later on, their test flights are over snow-capped mountains because they're out in the Gobi Desert. Just go...
Just test
10 minutes
them
farther
over the
out.
Snow-capped mountains. Don't test your... And also, testing your planes where the elementary school can see when they crash and people die, that doesn't seem healthy.
When your son, the adorable little soccer player...
is in that school watching his dad test fly the plane, he is going to see that plane crash at some point, and it's mm-hmm. going to destroy him.
Born to Fly, a perfectly pleasant little war movie. It's, you know how in Top Gun Maverick, the evil Chinese have a superpowered jet that we can barely keep up with? In this movie, we have the superpowered jet, and the Chinese are having trouble keeping up with it.
Yeah.
I don't expect you'll be able to watch it, but if you do... Oh, that reminds me. I wanted to do a little something.
A little something.
Yeah. I have heard, like, 3 people tell me online that they listen to this podcast. And I want
Thank
to say,
you, listeners.
I want to say to one of them, hey, thanks, I appreciate it.
Just that, one?
Yeah, that, I'm talking to someone here, Rias. Hey,
sorry.
Thanks for listening. I appreciate you. Now that was only to one of them, but you know, I think it'll be clear who I meant. What else did you watch?
Oh, I'm allowed to talk now.
I was doing
a bit.
I'm
so sorry for interrupting your bit, sir.
Thank you. It's all I wanted.
Let's see. What else did I watch? I watched a movie called The Lake. That is a horror movie from Thailand.
Is it about a lake? Is it about a giant lake that eats people?
No, there's this lake, and these people keep finding these giant eggs, so they take them.
Sure.
Because, I mean, it's an egg as large as a 4-year-old. We got to know what's in that, but they never break them open to see what's in them. And then a giant monster comes out of the lake and destroys their village, and no one can figure out why. It has this amazing scene in it where a cop is called to a crime scene and he picks up the blanket and looks at what is clearly just an actor with a little bit of blood on his face. And he picks up the second blanket and looks at the other actor with a little bit of blood on his face, then says, "These bodies are completely unrecognizable." He also, when he drives up to the crime scene and there are clearly two blankets covering bodies, he says, how many? Well, there's 2 blankets.
Yeah.
So it's not a great movie, I'm saying. But I really, really liked the monster design.
Yeah.
I thought he was a cutie.
I was in the room while you were watching about half of the movie. I appreciated that every time I looked up, I could see a monster on the screen. They were not shy about it at all.
They weren't shy about the monster. There's the baby, there's some smaller monsters, which are the first ones that come out. And then there's the giant mother monster, which is about the size of the T-Rex in Jurassic Park. And you do get to see a person in a rubber monster suit walking through some power lines.
Good.
Which is, in my opinion, vital to any kaiju movie. All of them. You gotta have a monster walking through power lines.
Sure.
Because the sparks look great.
Yeah.
But overall, as far as plot or anything, there's really not much.
Yeah. Just a cheap horror movie from Thailand, huh?
A cheap horror movie from Thailand that was fine to have on in the background while I ate my breakfast.
Nice.
Not much gore, just lots of fake stage blood splashed on people. If you like that kind of thing.
Yeah. One thing we watched was the show Total Forgiveness on Dimension 20.
Oh, Total Forgiveness on Dimension 20 is a harsh show.
So, sorry, it's on Dropout TV.
Oh,
so,
it has people from Dimension
right.
20.
Dropout TV is what College Humor became after College Humor went down and Sam Reich bought it. Dimension 20 is the role-playing show on it, Total Forgiveness is another show on it in which Ali Beardsley and Grant O'Brien torture each other to make money for student loans.
Yeah, it starts off with, let's say there's $1,000 up for grab. If both of them finish their tasks, they each get $500. If only one of them finishes the task, then the person who finishes it gets the full $1,000.
So the idea is that they set each other challenges, like, I challenge you to dye your hair green and get a spray tan orange and get your driver's license photo taken.
Right. So Allie has to have their driver's license photo taken while they look like an Oompa Loompa.
Hilarious. The thing is, this show gets pretty dark and serious about 2/3 of the way through.
It does.
Harrowing is the word people try to use.
Allie chooses some brutal challenges to put poor Grant through.
Yeah. Grant really goes through it. And it ends very heartwarming, very sweet.
Yeah, it has a great ending where somehow they manage to salvage their friendship after all of this hell that they have wished upon each other.
Yeah, so it's a pretty short series that really goes places quickly.
Right, and they talk a lot about, and it's to pay off their student loans. So there's information about student loan debt and how it affects their lives in each episode, which is kind of interesting.
Which makes sense because, you know, it was originally college humor. See?
Sure.
Huh? Makes sense.
It was still college humor.
Yeah.
They're in the college humor office in the show.
It does say college humor in the background a lot.
I really enjoyed it, but there were a couple episodes in it where I was like, I can't believe, and I know that they're still talking to each other because they're on Dimension 20 every week, but there were times when I was like, oh, they're not going to be able to salvage their friendship after this. This is a horrible thing to make someone do.
Yeah. We're also working our way through A Crown of Candy on Dimension 20 itself.
Yep.
It's a very cute candy pun creatures going through. They're rolling so many death saves.
Yeah, it's brutal. It's set in a candy kingdom, and one of the characters is a peppermint boy who has a little peppermint pig, and then the two sisters are pieces of red and black licorice, and it starts off, and you're like, this is going to be a fun, cute little game. And then they roll badly.
Yep.
And it just gets darker and darker. And I'm not sure any of the characters are going to survive.
So we're watching A Crown of Candy because Matt Mercer is going to be a guest DM, I guess you call it, for a Dimension 20 miniseries. And I just want to say, I know Matt Mercer does high fantasy and tragedy and all that very well, but he's doing Dimension 20. So I hope that it's funnier than this.
Like, Matt can make things funny.
Yeah. A Crown of Candy is great, but I hope Matt doesn't just do Crown of Candy. I hope Matt mixes it up.
Yeah. Oh, you will. He's a good boy.
Yeah. What else you watch?
I watched a movie today called Come to Daddy.
Excuse me?
Come to Daddy.
One more time?
Come to Daddy.
Okay.
It stars Elijah Wood. I really enjoy the choices Elijah Wood has made as far as...
He's one of those people who has a really iconic early role and then has to do a lot of work to get out from under it, I think.
That's true, but I think he's really done that. He's been in some weird, weird stuff, and Come to Daddy is some of it. So Elijah Wood is a guy whose father abandoned him when he was 5 and he was raised by his mother. When he is 35, he gets this letter from his father saying, son, please come visit me. And he decides to do it. And his son lives way out somewhere. I'm not sure. In a wilderness. Or his dad lives in the wilderness, really nice house. So he goes out there and he opens and he knocks on the door and his dad's like, who are you? And he's like, I'm your son. And his dad hugs him and it turns out his dad's an alcoholic and kind of a jerk. And then there's like a weird thing going on where he keeps overhearing his dad on the phone saying things like, oh, he's dead. I promise you, he is dead. We've got him for collateral and I don't want to be a babysitter. So it gets weirder from there on in. And the first half of the film, really good. And the second half of the film, a incredibly violent murder fest.
Oh, wow. Is this one of those movies that just has a hard change of gears partway through, like from dusk till dawn? Okay.
Yeah.
What's it called again?
Come to Daddy.
All right. Sorry. One more time?
You just like hearing me say that. I'm not going to say it anymore unless you polish my boots properly.
Properly.
Let's see. We have been... I went to Scarecrow and I ordered a couple movies because I need to own them. One of those movies is Crazy.
Yeah, you like Crazy Rich Asians a lot more than you thought you would.
Yeah, I turned it on randomly thinking I would hate it, but sometimes when you're not feeling well, you want a romantic comedy. And that movie, I was like, oh my God, this movie is opulent looking. I love it. And so now I've ordered it so that I can have a comfort film that isn't the devil's by Ken Russell.
You've got comfort films that aren't the devil's, and now you've got one more.
Yes, and I also ordered another film, which is one of my comfort films, which is from like 1985, and it's Frank Capra's You Can't Take.
I love You Can't Take It With You so much.
It has been one of my favorite movies for almost my entire life. And I was looking through my movies the other day because I wanted to take it over and show it to a friend, and I didn't own it. And I was
taken aback by
the fact that I don't.
I was sure I had it on DVD.
I did not.
Wow. Well, good.
We'll have it in a week.
Good job getting it, because that movie, the story of You Can't Take It With You is that a young man shows up at a house to repossess it for the bank and discovers that it is populated by a crazy old man and his crazy family. And he immediately becomes sucked in by the crazy old man and his crazy family, and everything is fine. Lionel Barrymore is the crazy old man. It's the exact opposite of It's a Wonderful Life.
It is. Lionel Barrymore is the crazy old man, and he is so good at being a grandpa. You just fall in love with him. And everyone, the thing about the family, he has this house full of people, not all of whom are related to him. He does have a wife and he has a daughter and a granddaughter. But then there are other people who just live in the house, like the guy that makes fireworks in the basement. They meet a guy who makes toy animals, so he comes over to work with the guy with the firemen, and they kind of have constructed this whole found family of woes.
Yes.
And it's just a super charming old-timey comedy that it kind of reminds me of the Addams Family, in that they're a family of people who are incredibly, but who all really love each other.
Yeah.
And I like that.
Yeah.
And if you haven't seen it, then you should.
Yeah, you should.
And I also bought a movie called Murder My Sweet that stars Dick Powell.
Oh, that's a film? It is a film noir. I was going to say it was a Philip Marlowe, but I'm not sure that it is.
It is not. Dick Powell was an actor who got a lot of work in comedy. He was a kind of like one of those Disney kid actors where everybody's like, oh, you need a good-looking young leading man to be a young wisecracking leading man type. You get Dick Powell. And he wanted to do other stuff, so they put him in this film noir, which was his like one of his first movies that was outside of the attractive young man genre. And he's great in it. But the best part is that it has more slang in it than any film noir I have ever seen. And some of it I had to look up online, and I really enjoyed that.
All right. Sounds fun.
He can't go to the bank because there's a duck sitting on his account.
A duck?
It means he has a duck egg in his account, which is a zero. Ah, it took me a while to figure that one out.
I see. I'm going to do another bit now, a Mario update. In our last episode, 2 weeks ago, I said that we knew nothing about the world of Mario.
I still don't.
Well, it occurred to me that I actually had played Luigi's Mansion 3, so I am very familiar with Luigi and what his deal is, he is afraid of ghosts. I think he gets a lot of flack for that, but to be honest, those ghosts are everywhere and they are jerks. He's allowed to be scared of them. And I am now playing Super Mario Odyssey on the Switch, and it's fun. I'm enjoying it, I guess. I'm probably enjoying it more than I would the movie, although I understand the movie's doing very well for it.
Yeah, the movie seems to be doing well. I know very little about Mario. I know he jumps around a lot. He's a jumper.
He does jump an awful lot.
And sometimes he drives a car.
Yeah.
A little go-kart.
Yeah, I'm thinking
a Mario Kart, if you will.
I'm thinking of playing Mario Kart on the Switch. I don't have anyone to play with, so I'll just be playing solo, and I feel like that makes me a huge loser.
Wow.
You could play with me.
Oh, you thought of that now, did you? Just popped into your mind.
I have asked you to play video games with me, and you looked at me like I was speaking a foreign language.
That is not true. I played the entirety of Skyrim.
You did play the entirety of Skyrim.
And I played Animal Crossing.
You did play Animal Crossing.
Those are the only two video games I have ever played in my life.
Okay, bye.
Bye.